You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
Last week we talked about first love and that God's our first love. And what does that really mean? And in Matthew it said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." So the number one thing, if we do anything in our life, if there's anything that we must do, it's to love the Lord with our everything, to exalt him above everything else. It says there's none like you. As good as your mom might be, he's better. As awesome as your best friend is, he can be closer to you. But it requires us responding to him. Have you ever said "I love you" to someone and they don't say it back? It's that awkward moment of, oops, shouldn't have said that. And you feel kind of rejected. And God's saying, "I love you. Are you going to respond to me? Are you going to say, 'I love you' back?" And then there's that other time where you tell someone you do love them, but then at school you ignore them. You ignore their text messages, and when they ask you to hang out, you're like, "No, don't feel like it." And so then your actions aren't lining up with your words. And that can be equally as awkward for being that other person. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. When someone's told you they love you, but you're like, "Why won't they talk to me? Why won't they hang out with me?" And the Lord's saying, "Talk to me. Hang out with me." And his second commandment is, you must love yourselves before you can love someone else. Now, that's not the scripture. The scripture is, and the second commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In order for me to love Kylie, or for me to love Jordan, or you, I have to be able to love myself. Because it says I'm supposed to love you just like I love myself. So if I hate myself, that's going to reflect in how I treat you. Because if I'm mad, you're going to feel it in how I talk to you, how I act around you. And then it goes on to say, love your neighbors. It says in 1 John 13:31, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." So he's telling you to love one another. It doesn't say love your best friend, love those who are nice to you. It says love everybody. But that's only possible if you can do the first two that it talked about, loving him and letting him love you so that you can love yourself. And so last week, that kind of brings us to where we're at tonight. It's talking about love itself. What does love look like? What is love? Love is the ultimate relationship you could ever have. When I say love, it says God is love. So spending time with love, learning how to speak love, act love, that is the ultimate thing that you could ever do. The thing that has meaning that they described in the song. But when you're in these relationships with people, what you say and what you do is going to directly affect, or it's going to be directly affected by your love with the Father. And if you're lacking in that area, it's going to reflect in how you're treating other people. And so everything we do, all of our relationships stem from him. Have we spent time with him? Are we letting him love us? Because as we do that, as we spend time with him, you're going to find everything else gets just a little easier. Turn with me. Well, first of all, I want to ask you a question. And here, Kylie, before she sang that last song, she said that, how many of you get meaning out of something? How many of you have something that you just get purpose out of and you thrive for? And God put something in each and every one of you. And sometimes, you know, she says not to be real spiritual. But God gives you things. It says he gives you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we think of my desire is to get a gift or a car or a scholarship. And so we think that once we receive that, that's him giving it to us. But he gives you the desire to have that desire. Does that make sense? He puts those wants and those desires in you. So when you want to grow up someday and marry someone, when you want to have kids, he's the one that puts that in you. And then he's the one that's going to meet that need. So if sometimes you think, am I ever going to get what I want? He put that there. He put that desire there, and he's never going to not give you what he said you can have. So if you have those desires, believe that you have them already received. You know, I can compare myself to other people. My desire was to go to college and get that MRS degree. For those of you who don't know initials, it's Mrs. degree. And girls go to college and they think, oh, I'm going to meet the one at college. That was 7 years ago in June. Still waiting for the bling. And I look at my friends who are now going on their second child. And that's a desire of my heart. But if I focus on that, oh, my best friend's now on her second child, her third child. If I compare myself to them, I'm not going to get anywhere because I'm not called to live their life. I'm called to be where I'm at right now. And so we have to get our eyes focused on him and what his desires are instead of looking at what everyone else might have that you might want and focus on him, your one desire. Because if I'm not totally focused on him, not totally sold out on him, when I get those other things, they're still not going to make me happy. They're still not going to make me satisfied. I hear people say, can't wait till I get married, it's going to be so exciting. And they get there, and do you know how many girls have been on my couch crying that it's hard, and he doesn't understand me, and it's not what I thought it would be. He didn't meet their every need. Getting married isn't the end goal. I got married, that's awesome, I have someone that loves me. It's another opportunity to share love and life with someone. But just like you might struggle sharing a bathroom with your brother, or it annoys you when they don't put the toothpaste cap on, or they leave razor hair in the shower. The spouse is still going to do that. It doesn't get better. You think, oh, life is going to be bliss. You think their toothpaste and spit's going to be cooler because you're married to them? It's not true. I went home at Christmas and I asked my friend, there was a few things that just drove her nuts, like the fact that he couldn't seem to put things away, that he'd come home from the gym and there'd be a trail of stuff behind him as he goes to the refrigerator, and the stuff didn't pick itself up. And then every morning they'd share toothpaste, and he just couldn't get the cap on it. No matter what it was, he could not get the cap on it. And I asked her, so how'd you fix it? She goes, we both have our own toothpaste. And so sometimes we look at these things as ultra spiritual, like, Lord, if he really loves me, he's going to put the cap on the toothpaste. And he's going to rinse the sink when he spits in it. And he's not going to leave the hair marks from his razor just all over the sink. Or if there really is love, you're not going to get so agitated about those things. You're going to find simple solutions instead of making it a big deal. I asked someone once, why don't men put the toilet seat down? That is so rude. And he goes, well, why don't you guys put the toilet seat up for us? And I was like, so instead of me ranting and raving about why, and I know you're like, have your pens ready to write this down. You're like, that's quite not spiritual enough for my journal, Jen, but I'm getting somewhere with this. Trust me. We're always looking at someone else and how someone else can fix things and make things better for us. But if we just get our eyes off those silly things, a deal breaker for a marriage is not whether or not they can put toothpaste cap on or the toilet seat up or down. Now you can love and respect each other and learn what might set that button off in someone and avoid it. But you also don't make these huge mountains out of molehills. But it's probably what relationships you have are what you spend most of your time with. Yes, you spend time at school. Yes, you spend time with homework. You go to church. But really, if you think about all the things that bring you up and bring you down, it's probably going to be mostly revolving around people in your life. And so you're not going to be able to let these roller coasters be what dictate you, because you're always going to get frustrated at something if that's where you place yourself. But the Lord has a plan for you. And that plan one day, most likely for a lot of you, would be to get married. But don't place that in your end result. Don't think that all these things that frustrate you now are going to become so much better when you get married or when you have kids. Because if you ask any of my friends who've recently get married, have kids, life doesn't necessarily get easier with all of those things. That puts some strain on a relationship. It's not that it's not a blessing to have kids and that you guys don't bless your parents, but it changes things. And if any of you are older siblings, when the next one comes and the next one comes, life in the house changes. But you can't place a bar and say, when I get to here, it's going to be good, or when I get to here, it's going to be good. The Lord has a plan for your life, but like Kylie had said, there is a plan. And ultimately, you would find satisfaction in him, in who he thinks you are, in what he thinks you can do, and not what your friends think or what your teachers told you you could or couldn't do, or what the laws told you what you could or couldn't do. You place your trust in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So do you believe that the Lord has a plan for your life? Yes. Every one of your life? Yes. Yes. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29:11. For those of you up here, we're going to put them on the screen so you'll be able to see them, and I'll read them too. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. The Lord has a plan for your life. I told you guys a while back, I had a friend going through a divorce, and just the other day it was, Jen, do you think it's going to get better? Do you think I'll ever find someone? And I told her, I said, Jeremiah 29:11 says, the Lord has good plans for you. And then you turn over to Romans, and it says he works all things together for good. We might not know what all those details are right now because it looks pretty hard and pretty difficult, but I can see beyond her current circumstance. I see her after the divorce. I can see her from where she is now and where she's going to be. She currently just sees this forest around her, but I can see that in her. And so sometimes you guys may think, I can't see past where I'm at. I don't see how those things could come to pass. And that's when you have to raise yourself up. It's like if you're in a plane and you get ready for takeoff, the higher you go, the farther you can see. And so the higher you go in him, the deeper you go in him, the farther you're going to be able to see these things. And so when you ask, I can't see where it's going. I don't know how this is going to work out. Instead of trying to figure it out yourself, that doesn't get you any higher. It just gets you a little more frustrated. But if you spend time in him, seeking his wisdom, it's going to take you high and higher to the point where I can see. That wasn't a big deal. That actually wasn't a huge forest. It was just a few trees around me. But from my perspective, it seemed so big and so impossible. But when I got higher, I saw how little it really was. But it takes you coming up, ignoring some of those little things that might annoy you that I talked about earlier. And you're like, well, I don't have a husband. He doesn't leave his toothpaste open. I had a brother. I don't know any of you who share a bathroom with someone. But there's always opportunity for annoyances. We had dish duty, so we got to rotate. That was always a discussion, even though it takes 2 minutes. And whoever got to do the silverware, that's another 30 seconds. So then you got to fight about that. But there's always going to be something that you can disagree on with somebody. But if you can take the higher road, the love road, the things that you find irritate you aren't going to be such big deals anymore because you're not letting them affect you. None of these things move me. I've had to tell myself that lately. None of these things move me, no matter what it is, no matter how annoyed you are, how frustrated, how this is so simple. Why didn't they get that? No matter how obvious things seem to you, having a little more patience with the people around you, having a little more grace with someone, because one day you're going to want it and you're going to need it. And you're sowing it right now by how you're treating people, how you're talking to people. Turn with me to Psalms 32:8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you, and I will watch over you. How many of you have goals and plans? Out of all those goals and plans, how many of you know how you're going to get there? Like, it's all laid out. You got it all figured out. A few of you, that's awesome. I can only hope to be right there with you. But sometimes you have these lofty dreams and goals, and you can't even fathom how. How am I going to get there? How am I going to do that? How am I getting provision for that? But as I read this, and I read it over and over, this is one of my favorites. I will guide you along the best way for your life. not someone else's life, not the mediocre life, but the best way for your life. And then I'll advise you and I'll watch over you. So I'm going to tell you what to do, where to go, how to get there. But how many of you know if you ask someone for directions, but then you hang up and don't give them a chance to keep telling you how to get there, you're not going to hear how to get there. And so you say, Lord, I want to know how. Oh, got a text message. Okay, text message. Oh, check Facebook. Okay, I'll check Facebook. And now you're on this path and you've got totally distracted. And all right, Lord, but you're going to take care of that, right? And he's like, are you listening to me? I'm trying to tell you how to do this. But have you ever found yourself where you just get easily distracted and you're pulled to the left, you're pulled to the right, and suddenly quiet time's over, time to go to school, time to go to bed, and you just never quite had that intimate time with him. And then you get down the road, and then you're frustrated because you still don't know what to do. And he's saying, come back to me. Come spend time with me. And sometimes it seems so counterproductive to stop and do nothing, which you would say is nothing. But spending time with him is more effective than you trying to figure something else out on your own. Because you're going to get these aha moments where you didn't have to toil over an answer. You're going to wake up one morning and go, that's what I'm supposed to do. Or I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is right. Or I know this is wrong, and so I know now how I'm going to handle it. It happened to me about a month ago. Pastor Kim and I were talking about different programming for youth and what to do on Sundays, and do we add home groups, more of them, take them away, do Bible studies, do we have junior high, senior high group? I was trying to figure out, how does this all work? And one morning I woke up and it was an aha moment. I didn't have to toil over and strategize and create all these boxes and diagrams. It just happened. It clicked. That's for me just being like, Lord, I can't figure this out on my own. I don't have the answer in my natural, and so I'm going to need you to show it to me. And so he gave me this way to program and to structure things so that it would fit for each area and be easy. I wasn't adding a whole lot, but it allowed for openings. So sometimes there's going to be things you can't figure out in your natural. But if you just press into him and say, Lord, I'm casting the care. I'm not going to worry about this test. I'm not going to worry about this relationship that gives me trouble every time I talk to that person. Help me. And he's going to show you every little detail. He's going to help walk you through. But it requires you asking him, spending time with him, seeking him. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. If you don't have the answers to all those questions that I listed earlier, like, do you know what you're going to do? Do you know how you're going to get there? I mean, the list could go on. Do you know where you're going to live? Do you know what your job's going to be? Do you know your assignment? Do you know all your gifts and callings? And you can just begin to swim going, I know that, but I don't know that. And I don't know the how, but I know the what. But instead of getting all bogged down in all those details, just knowing that if I don't depend on my own understanding, I forget about what I think or how I think, and I focus on him, he's going to direct my path. He's going to get me there because he already promised the end result, so he's going to show me how to get there. Amen? Amen? And then if you can't answer all those questions about all yourself, if you don't know all those answers to the things I just listed, don't spend your time trying to figure out someone else. What do I mean? Have you ever had someone where you're like, I just don't get them. I don't understand them. Or you've been in a friendship or relationship with someone and you're like, I don't understand her. I just don't know why she does that. Or him, you're like, how does his brain work? Does his brain work? Like, I don't understand. And I know you boys have asked about a girl. She says this, but she does this. So what does she really mean? Like, she tells me this, but then she's doing that. And like, I don't understand you. Well, you guys didn't raise your hand when I said you have all the answers about yourself. So you already have shown that you don't have all the answers about yourself. So how do you expect someone else to figure you out? How do you expect someone else to know everything about you and anticipate everything you're going to do if you're not even sure yet? But yet we spend a lot of our time in these relationships, or we don't call them relationships because we don't date, but if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck, it's a duck. Yeah. okay? So let's just call it what it is. And I'm not making fun of you. I'm just trying to make it a little clear here what I'm talking about. You spend a lot of time trying to figure out someone else who doesn't even know themselves yet, who hasn't figured themselves out yet. And you're getting frustrated because you don't understand them, and they're frustrated because they don't understand them. But you're trying to make this thing work at 14 and 15 and 16, and I have a lot of 25-year-old friends who still don't have it figured out. And I'm not saying you're not going to, and there's a certain age. By the time you reach this age, you're going to have it all figured out. But there's a level of maturity that comes with each step of your life. But if you spend all this time and energy trying to figure someone else out, when you haven't figured yourself out, or you don't know who you are in the Lord, you're wasting a lot of time. Because then you get to my age, and you have these different friends. Some are engaged, some are married, some are still single. And you know what? We still don't have it all figured out, but we know where we're going. We know where we're headed. We just haven't found the person running next to us who's headed in the same direction. But if I stopped, decided to take a left-hand turn just so I could find somebody, I'm now on another path, going another place, and I'm no longer on my path. And that's kind of what happens at this age group. You're bored, you're lonely, you like the feeling of attention and affection. And so you kind of pause on your path, you take a little detour, and you kind of test things out. And then you look back and you wonder, how did I get here? And it's each choice along the way. And I'm not condemning you if you've had a relationship. If you're in a relationship, that's not what I'm here to say, get out of it right now. But I'm here to say, we just read the scripture, seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your path. So in everything you do, you should be seeking his will. And that's not just dating. That's friendships. I had a few friends in junior high who were not going the right direction, and mom was telling me, Jen, I know you love them. I know you want to lead them to the Lord, but if you spend all of your time with them, you're eventually going to go down their path instead of bring them down your path. And so I had to make some choices about who I was spending time with. Because the more you jump over onto someone else's path, you're going to end up down their path instead of down your path. And it becomes this struggle between, well, I don't want to let them down, don't want to hurt their feelings. But what's more important? Is your future important, or is hurting their feelings more important? And I'm not saying you even have to hurt someone's feelings, but being honest with people, people deserve honesty. And if you're doing things that are wrong, if you're doing things that go against what you believe, and they think everything's fine, and then one day you disappear and you feel bad because you hurt them, you should have had those discussions a long time ago before you got where you're at right now. And so sometimes you feel bad. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to tell them that I know this isn't right. Or I don't know how I'm going to start that conversation. And I don't want to pull the God card. God told me to, because then that makes them feel like that God doesn't want them, and you go down that road. But I was there. I was 18. I was in a relationship. It was wrong. Wrong, capital letters, exclamation marks. All signs point bad. But I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I didn't want him to feel bad because I would say, God, I don't have peace about this. What do you mean you don't have peace? Well, God told me not to be in this relationship. So you're telling me God doesn't like me? And then you're down this, well, okay, never mind. Let's just stay together. But you know what? That's a minefield. That just breeds destruction. Because now I'm in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, and making these bad decisions just that kept carrying me south and south and south till one day I could not handle it anymore. And it didn't have to be as ugly as it was. If I would have, back when we were friends, made the decision that this isn't right, he might be cute, he might be fun, we might be best friends, but that's all it needed to be. And I kept on going till I hit destruction. And then the next couple years after that, I spent putting myself back together again because I was destroyed. He took things he should have never had. Parts of me that I had to get back and put back together and receive healing in because of how bad it hurt. And it was that time in my life, this spring semester, freshman year of college. I remember I was sitting on my mom's bed and I said, I know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I am supposed to help every young person know who they are, what they're called to do, so that they don't end up where I'm at right now, in counseling, lost all my friends, lost my best friend that became my boyfriend that's now spread some bad rumors, and now I have a lot of people who don't like me. And I was in a very bad place. And I didn't want to receive my calling in that situation. The Lord could have given me that calling without that experience, but it was that pinnacle moment where I made that decision. I can't do this anymore. And I never want you to have to get to that place where one day you look back and you wonder, how did I get here? I want you to look back and say, look how I got here, and have it be a positive thing, not a how do I backtrack and get out of this. But it's every decision you make, seeking the Lord in every step. Because when you don't know who you are, you're not going to know who you are trying to find it in someone else, because they don't know who they are either, and they're not your answer. The Lord's your answer. And so I had to realize my identity wasn't in my boyfriend, because he's going to let me down. He really let me down. 10 years now since that relationship, and he's in a whole other place, I'm in a whole other place. And we could probably be friends, and I probably could have impacted his life. He had a really hard life. And that's why I had some compassion on him. Oh, he doesn't know better. No one ever taught him that. I'm here. This is why I'm in his life, is so that I can change his life. And I thought that being his girlfriend was a better way to do that than being his friend. But I look back and I think, how could that have been different if I would have put aside the desire to have someone to spend Valentine's with and go to movies with and to hold my hand and put that aside to what does he really need? He needs the Lord. He doesn't need me. I can help point him towards him, but he's not going to get it all through me. And sometimes you have to have those harsh realities that as much as you want to help someone, sometimes you're not the one that's going to be able to help that someone. You might be hurting them more than you're helping them. And so it requires an honest moment of, is this right? And who's it helping? Or who's it hurting? And I didn't even plan on sharing any of that with you tonight. But it's that serious. That when I have a friend in the middle of a divorce, and I'm on Facebook last night, and I see the ex-boyfriend with his wife now and where he's at, and the what-ifs in my mind of if I would have just stayed his friend, if I really would have done what God told me to do in that relationship, where would he be today? Would he be saved? Would he be with the Lord? Because by dating him, I sure didn't change his life. And so sometimes you have to analyze your purpose in doing something. And is it really for what you want or for what the Lord wants? And it all goes back to your identity. When you know who you are in him, when you know what you're called to do and what path you're on, you're going to be so firm in your ways that you're going to go along that path. And you're not going to miss out. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to advise you. And one day you're going to look up and someone's going to be running right next to you, merging paths with you, headed in the same direction, and it's going to happen like that. Instead of this halt, have you ever seen collisions? They happen like this. If people are driving next to each other, there's no collisions. But if someone veers off into one path or veers off into the next, there's always going to be a jarring, a change in someone's life. But if you're focused on your path and who you are and where you're called to be, the Lord's going to add all these things to you as you're going along that way. You don't have to stop to try to find Mr. Right or stop to find that best friend. You're just going to look over and you're going to see these people running with you in the same direction that you're going. Chances are, if someone's heading the opposite direction, they're probably not meant to line up with you. You know what I mean? Like, if they're breezing past you that way and you know you're supposed to be this way, don't stop, turn around, and find yourself chasing the other direction. Because then you're going to be like, where is my path? I don't even know where my path is anymore, because you're trying to find clarity. But if you stick to your path, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Where to work, where to go shopping today, where to go to school, who to hang out with. These things are just going to fall into place. I had a friend who went recently to this company. Now, there's different companies that sell things, and then if you get more people to go, then they're under you. And so when they sell something, then you get something out of it. And so she went to this company just to get some product and the buy-in, and her friend introduced her to someone. There's just something about him. And then the next 3 days, as different friends would get together, he was there again, and he was there again. And one day he just said, do you want to go to coffee? And she's like, sure. The Lord had been talking to her about him, and the Lord had been talking to him about her, and when they got together, they realized, oh, it's not just me. The Lord's really talking to him about this. And it just happened that fast and that easy. And they found out that all of their likes and all of their gifts and all of their callings just lined up. And it just was from some, what you would call, random occurrence. And so you don't have to, like, try to make yourself available and let everyone know and go around and post billboards and signs and throw yourself at people. Being in the right place at the right time on your path, the Lord's going to merge you with someone else. When you're focusing on love himself and really hearing his voice, it's just going to happen that easy. And it's not going to be all that hard work, and you're not going to have all this regret because you are focused on him. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to do some math for you real quick. It won't be hard, I promise. No square roots. We're sticking to 1 + 1 here. So how many of you heard two become one in the scripture? When a husband meets a wife, they become one, right? Okay, so 1 + 1 equals what?
Two.
Okay, so 1 + 1 equals two. So how do I get one?
Multiply.
Okay. So 1 × 1 equals
one.
Now you're with me. All right. So now that we're in the multiplication area, if I have someone who's not complete, who doesn't know who they are, who isn't whole per se, they'll represent a half, okay? Okay, now we're getting really deep. So then if you take a half a person times a half a person, does that still equal one? It equals a fourth. Okay, so what's my point? My point is that when, be complete in yourself. If you're whole and you're paired with someone that's whole, you're going to be one. But if you're not quite there yet and they're not quite there yet, it's okay. We're going to figure this out together. I know they're not quite there, but, you know, the Lord works it all together for good. And so I'm going to make a few mistakes, but he's going to make it right. So I'm just going to ask for forgiveness and we'll move on, right? But if you multiply that, it diminishes it. It diminishes the impact. When people get married, it's not just because, oh, this is going to be fun. It's because they have a calling and they're merging it together so they can do more for God together than they could have apart. And if that's the case, you can't do more for God together than apart if you're with someone who isn't there yet. I can accomplish more when I'm half and getting to one than if I merge with someone else as a half, because now together we're not really growing. We are now taking two things that aren't quite good and making it still not quite good. Does that make sense? And I know that's, you know, okay, that's math. But really, if you think about it, if you take someone who's complete in the Lord and you merge together with them to become one, you'll do more for him than you ever could have done apart. But if you are with someone who's not quite there yet, who isn't sure who they are or where they're going or what they're doing, and you try to merge that in with yours and you don't know where you're going and what you're doing, together you guys are not going to know what you are or where you're going. And it's not easy. And I've heard testimonies how people found the Lord together. I'm not saying it won't happen. But also part of those testimonies are the things that you go through together when it could have all been avoided if you were who you were supposed to be to meet them to begin with. Are you with me? Yes. So why am I talking about all this? Because when you know and when you're focused on who you're supposed to be, these things happen easy. And where you are right now is the perfect time to be spending with the Lord, with those godly relationships, godly friends who are helping you find out who you are, that are on your path with you. But if you spend all this time with people who aren't on your path or aren't going the direction that you're going, you're going to get into where you could be in a relationship and could actually do something about it and still be having all those same questions. And then that person comes along and it's not necessarily going to be as easy as you thought it could be. Because you're still going to need to answer those questions when you're with somebody. But when you know who you are, and I can't say it enough, your identity is everything. Who you identify with is everything. When you identify with the Lord, that determines your steps. When someone identifies with the world, that determines their steps. And so knowing who you are, we're starting a series in a couple weeks, Born Identity. And it talks about who you are. And I'm not going to show all the movies. That's not what service is going to be about. I know, but it's a great series. I really do like it. But that's how important it is. Is it to set weeks aside. It's not just one message, who you are. It's spending time really identifying yourself with him. It's almost like a branding, what you brand yourself as. Because that's what you identify with. Why wear this? Well, I wear this. And you almost identify with your cliques or with your clothing or with these companies. But your identity is the most important thing. And who you're identifying with. I don't know, how many of you have seen the movie Runaway Bride? Few of you. In the movie, Julia Roberts was at a restaurant and they asked, how do you like your eggs? And she didn't know how she liked her eggs. And if you look back, in the end of the movie, someone asked her how she liked her eggs and she finally realized that she would define how she liked her eggs based on who she was with. When she was with, she had three boyfriends in the movie. It was a runaway bride. So she was with someone, she'd run away. She'd find someone else and she'd run away. But she would identify, she'd change herself to who they liked, what they liked, to the point where, oh, he likes them scrambled? I like them scrambled, please. Then she's with another boyfriend. Instead of saying scrambled, he's like ordered hard-boiled, and she says hard-boiled. And then the next one comes down the line, sunny side up. And she'd order whatever he wanted. And sometimes we do things like that. Well, I'm going to like this because he likes it. You do not need to change your likes, especially your eggs, for someone else. If someone doesn't like you because you like eggs scrambled versus sunny side up, then you got bigger problems than eggs. Don't change yourself to the point where someone asks you, how do you like your eggs? And you don't even know the answer because you've never made the decision yourself. And I know we're talking about eggs here, but if we go a little deeper in life, what do you believe about this? And you're like, well, what do you believe about that? Or where do you stand in politics? Well, where do you stand in politics? No, you better know what you believe. Otherwise, you're going to be changing on what they believe. And then when they change, where are you left? Without any foundation, without anything to stand on. And so it's important. Who do I identify with? How do I identify? And why? And this is the time to be figuring that out. Not figuring out someone else and then coming down the path to realize that you didn't even like eggs, so why would you even order them? And you laugh, but it's serious. I hear of too many situations of people deciding they're in a relationship and now graduation is close, so where am I going to go to college? Well, where are you going to go to college? Well, what if one's called to architecture and one's called to pastoring, and there's two different colleges that you both should be at, but one's going to come to this one because you're at that one. And now you're basing all of your plans because that's where he's going. And I'm sure they still have the degree. It might not be the best, but it'll work. And now you're jumping paths so that you can be with someone else that you're not even sure you're supposed to be with. I remember I was counting today how many friends I have that are already divorced. And these are friends like that I was friends with at college. I know more people who have gotten divorced since then, but since college, I know three couples that I went to school with who are now divorced. One's already remarried. So in the time frame of college, the last 6 years, they've been married and divorced and now onto another relationship. And now I have a friend that's going through a divorce, so that's four. And I thought about how did they get there? And one of them, I remember back in college, they didn't have any money, but they really wanted to get married. So she even got a ring that wasn't a real diamond because they just wanted to get married, but she wanted a ring, so they found artificial, if you will. And he was going to college to be a doctor, and she was going to college to be an accountant. and they wanted to get married right away. So they got married. A couple years later, he's a teacher. Yeah, what? He's a teacher because they needed to make money because they didn't have any money and they couldn't support him going to school. And he couldn't go to school supporting her, so then he got a job. And now years later, he's a teacher with the heart to be a doctor supporting a wife, and they eventually split up and divorce. And now he's angry at the Lord and he's having a really hard time and he's rebelling in other areas. But those are life choices where they tried to merge these things because they wanted it so bad and they didn't take the time to think, what's the plan? I'm not even saying they weren't meant to be together, but was that the right time? The right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Say it again. The right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. And yes, the Lord can work things together for good. And I follow her. You know, we're friends on Facebook, and I see how she's doing. She's doing great. She's been restored. She's in another relationship. But what she went through was so hard. And what he went through was so hard, and we're not that close. But I watch these things where we make our decisions because we might want something so bad right now that we don't realize what the results on the other side are. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. We always want what we don't have, but then when we get what we didn't have, then we realize it's not as amazing as we thought it would be. But if you wait on the Lord's timing, and why do I share that? That wasn't even a positive, uplifting example, Jen. But it shows how one little decision of, well, it's okay, we don't have money, and you're not where you need to be yet, but we just really want to get married, when if they would have kept pursuing what they needed to pursue and see what the Lord had on the other side, but instead they both ended up on different paths after each other. You're like, but I'm 15, Jen. What does this have to do with me? Well, some of my friends dated since they were 17, and then they've been together 5 years. They realize they have such an investment, but they're not really happy. They feel trapped. And so sometimes this fun dating relationship that you have now becomes serious 3 years later, and you never intended for it to get there. So I'm not trying to make everything serious, but I'm trying to show you that every little decision is going to affect your tomorrow. And when you get to tomorrow and you look back, how did I get here? You'll realize it's every little decision you made along the way to get there. And so if you want to change where you're going, you have to change what you're doing. Change what you're saying. Change who you're hanging out with. I was reading today a few scriptures in Proverbs. And it says, Proverbs 12:26, "The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray." Proverbs 13:20, "Whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but whoever walks with fools will suffer harm." But it's just harmless. We're just hanging out. Who's sharpening who? When you're with someone, who's influencing who? I'm not saying don't reach out to people and don't hang out with people who don't love the Lord. But if all you do is hang out with people who don't believe what you believe, you're going to eventually find yourself questioning what you believe and merging onto the path that you never intended to be on. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." Have you guys ever been with a friend before that makes you act a certain way, and then you get home and your mom says, "Why are you acting like that?" And you're like, "I'm not acting like anything." And you find, oh, wait, maybe I am. And sometimes someone finally called you out on it, but you didn't see it yourself until, or your friend. "Why? You would never say that. Why are you saying that?" "I didn't say anything." And you find that your friends are somehow changing, and you can equate it to who they've been with. And that's as easy as iron sharpening iron. You don't have to intentionally try to become like someone. It's just who you're going to spend your time with. So it's equally important who your friends are and who you surround yourself with, because when you're trying to figure out who you are and where you want to go, it's the people around you that you're going to become most like. And that's why it's important to have the Lord at the top. The last one is 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." You have to be mindful of who your company is. Who are you spending your time with? Who are you allowing to rub off on you? I had a few things the Lord was showing me today. How do I know that my relationships are good or bad? How do I know if someone's good for me? One, is the relationship submitted to the Lord? Does it line up with His word? Does everything you do when you're together pleasing to the Lord? Two, do your parents approve? Why do my parents, you're submitted to your parents whether you like it or not. And so if mom and dad don't agree, it's called submission. Submission usually doesn't come into play till you don't really feel like doing what they're asking you to do. Submission isn't, oh yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, let's go do that. That's just saying yes and being in agreement. That's called agreement. Submission is saying yes when you feel like saying no. When you're submitted, though, to something that's good, I'm not saying to do that to anybody. You know who you're supposed to be submitted to. Your parents, your teachers, your pastors. And when you trust them and they're walking with the Lord and they ask you to do something you don't feel like doing, that's going to be called submission. Because if you feel like doing it, that's called what? Agreement. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, just flip over to the back of the Bible to submission. It'll be real clear what that looks like. But it's submitting to someone else, authority, knowing that that's what's good for you, whether you like it or you don't. And I had to do that. Mom and Dad said, do not date him, Jennifer. Do not go out with him. I was 18. What does that have to do with it? My parents said that they raised me to hear from the Lord and to hear from the Holy Spirit. And that by the time I'm an adult, I should be able to make decisions on my own. So they said, we're not going to tell you you can't. We're going to tell you we'd prefer you not to. But if you do this, we want to be here to walk you through it because we already know where it's headed. So I was like, fine, I can do this. I got this. It just took 1 month into it to come back to them crying one night. You were right. Well, actually, I didn't even want to tell them. They found me crying. Like, what's wrong? Nothing. Nothing's wrong at all. And then I just bawled my eyes out, and finally the truth came out because they asked me. And they helped me get back on track. But they knew all along. You may not always like it, but most of the time, mom and dad are right. A lot of the time, they're right. Oh, Jen, I lost you right there. I don't even want to listen anymore. I'm serious. If you get anything out of tonight, learn from my mistakes. Listen to me. Not because what I have to say is so amazing, but it's because it's the Lord saying, I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan, but you got to listen to me. Not only listen to me, but obey me. Do what I'm asking you to do, and it will go well with you, I promise, but you have to do it. Proverbs 4:25. Let me see if I can flip there real fast. Never leave your Bible at home. No matter how awesome cell phones are, it's just not my Bible. Even my car Bible is at my bed stand, so that doesn't even work. The car Bible needs to stay in the car, Jennifer. Yes, got it. Proverbs 4:25, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Each one of you has a specific path. And I think if you took some time to really think about it, you know what that path is. You know where it's headed. Sometimes it might require more of you than you really want to give, but you know that it's worth it. And you might feel like you're missing out because this path looks so much more fun. But you don't really know where that path leads. And it says it's safe. You will be protected. You will have provision when you are on your path. And it says don't get sidetracked. The enemy would love nothing more than to get you sidetracked. To get you on another path. To get you looking backwards. And he uses that through distractions and through obstacles. And it usually comes in the form of relationships and friendships. Because if he can't get directly to you or in your head, he's going to get to you through someone else. And so that's how important it is of who you're spending time with and what you're doing together. And so if you just took a minute, just take 1 minute, 30 seconds even, and just think about those that are closest to you. your friends, your acquaintances, boyfriend, girlfriend, who you spend most of your time with. And if those are bringing you up, awesome. If they're bringing you down, you need to look at them. If they're bringing you away from God instead of to Him, you need to look at them. If they're not an example for others, if your friendships, if your relationships aren't something that others can follow and get to a healthy, safe place, or they're being done in secret because you don't even want people to know, it's an indication that it's probably not right. So sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves. Oh, but Jen, it's hard. I know, I had to let go of some friends. And I wish I wouldn't have let them got to the place that I'd called them best friend and then had to kind of backtrack from it. Because if I would have just kept them in acquaintance and let them know that I loved them and supported them, but not given them all of myself, I would have never had to have those, you know, breakups. And so sometimes you have to think. It says, submit everything to the Lord. Lord, is this pleasing to you? Is this relationship pleasing to you? And it's not hard if you do it up front like He asks you to. Always ask me what to do, where to go, how to do it. And then you don't get yourself in a complicated place of wondering, how did I get here now? How do I get out? And tonight I'm not telling you if you have a relationship, go break up. But what I am asking you is it submitted to the Lord? Is it honoring Him? Is it honoring your parents? Are you having troubles? Come talk to someone. I'd much rather have someone come talk to me and say, hey, Jen, I'm in a relationship. It's getting hard. I'm going the wrong place. How do you help us? We know we're called together. Because I'm not saying you might not be called together, but what can you do about it right now? Not a whole lot. I love it when I see third graders who are dating, and I wonder, where are you going? I remember at recess, they were like, will you go out with me? And I'm like, go where? Go out where? To the tetherball pole? Like, I don't understand. And you giggle at it, but then you get older, and it's fun. And then you come to a place where, like, am I supposed to marry him or not? We've been dating for 3 years. You should ask those questions beforehand so that you don't get to a place where you feel like you have to break someone's heart, because the Lord never intended for you to break someone's heart. He doesn't want that for you. And so it takes those real moments of you guys saying, where am I at today? Do I like where I'm headed? Because if you don't, it's not over. It's not over till you have victory. And so you have choices. And all I'm saying tonight is make the right ones. Don't make the easy ones necessarily. Make the right ones. Because when you get back and look back, you're going to have people following you. And you want to be having them come down the right path. Because we're here to glorify God and to bring as many people with us. So is what you're doing glorifying God? And are you bringing people with you? Because when you look back, you're supposed to be edified by your friends. You're supposed to be edified by your relationships. Edified means build up, encouraged, not pulled down. And when I was preparing today, Pastor Kim joked. She goes, Jen, I didn't even know you were talking about this. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. I thought we're going to have a Valentine's Day message, talk about love, and move on. And the Lord's like, you're not done yet. Oh, but please, I don't want to talk about relationships. Nobody wants to hear about relationships. Well, if people are at a place where they don't want to hear it, that's probably when they do need to hear it. Yeah. And so I'm willing to stick my neck out here and tell you some things you might not want to hear and might make you a little agitated and a little frustrated at some of the things I said. But hopefully that pushes you towards the Word to find out answers for yourself, to find out that I'm probably telling you the truth. I'm not giving you Jen's opinion. I'm just giving you the Word tonight. I gave a few examples so you could see where I've been and how I really do know what I'm talking about when I say following the wrong person is going to end up where you don't want to be. And I love you enough that the Lord corrects those He loves. So if I'm calling out some things tonight, you're like, ouch, oh, she read my mail, oh no, is she really talking to me? No, I'm not talking to anyone specific. I do know some of you and some of your situations. And I care that much about you that I'm willing to say what I don't think you might want to hear, so that hopefully it plants a seed and it's going to grow and you're going to do something about it. Because I don't want you to become 18 crying on your bed, wondering why you gave yourself to someone and how you even got there and how do I pick this up and I'm ashamed to tell anyone I need help. Ask for help now. Seek counsel now. And if you're not in that place, praise God. But take these words, take the wisdom, heed it, listen to it. It says in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. Knowing what to do and how to do it is the principal thing. And so I know tonight there's some of you who are like, she did read my mail. She hasn't stared me in the eyes yet, but it's because the lights are down and she hasn't quite found me. No, I see you. Jordan, if you can come up. I know there's some of you who have been struggling with things. Or maybe it's not right now. Maybe you got out of that relationship, but it's still eating you up. What you did is still eating you up. It hurts. You can't forgive yourself. You feel bad for what you did. Or you're with someone and you don't know how to get out of it. Because you know, if you have that scratchy thing on the inside right now that's tugging, you're like, she's not talking to me, but oh, that thing just keeps gnawing at me. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, this is for you. This is me talking to you. I'm not on your insides. I'm not trying to scratch at you. I'm just trying to love on you and help you make the right choices. And so if that's you, the Lord wants you to be on the right path, doing the right thing. He doesn't want you to leave here confused or guilty or frustrated. He wants you free and liberated. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in a relationship right now that doesn't honor the Lord, or you've been in a relationship and you're feeling guilty about things you did that didn't honor the Lord and His temple, the Lord wants to love on you. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame. He wants to make you new. And this might not necessarily be a dating relationship. Maybe you're hanging out with people your parents have told you not to hang out with. Or you're doing things that you don't even want to do and you don't know why you're still doing them. The Lord wants to free you from those things. And so tonight, if that's you, if you're not honoring the Lord in your relationships, if you're not honoring the Lord with your body, with your actions, with your words, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and come up here. But I do want to know who you are so I can pray with you. And so if you'd slip up your hand just so that I can see, no one else is looking. No one else is watching. Just me and the Lord. And I know there's something that each of us can repent for. But tonight, if you guys will all say with me, Lord, forgive me for not honoring you in my relationships, actions, and words. I repent for disobeying. Give me the strength to be who I am called to be. And the strength to resist bad influences. I choose to make good decisions and follow only you. The Lord wants you to know how much you're loved, that He would die on that cross just for you. He did die on that cross just for you. So don't let guilt and shame eat you up. Even if you didn't raise your hand and you're sitting there like, I should have raised my hand, there's no guilt in that either. The Lord heard you. The Lord sees you. He knows your heart. Leave all of that at His feet. When you ask for forgiveness, He doesn't remember it anymore. And so don't let the devil come in and try to remind you of things or make you feel bad for something. Have confidence in the Lord, faith in His word. That's what makes you clean, not how you feel, not what someone says to you, but His word. Amen.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.